much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So what do you think? Do you think this is a bad idea?
Yes. Terrible idea. Why would we do that, man? We should bail.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Excuse me,
Ballard.
Watch, excuse me, guys. This is tuna. I hate tuna, okay? I refuse to get stuck with tuna now. Come on.
Hey, Leo, don't eat the tuna.
Oh, where were you? I just said that. I'm not eating this. I'm not eating tuna. Come on, let's go back.
Hey, we're not going back, so just shut up.
Oh, sure. Don't go back. Okay, don't go back. That's it. Let me tell you, can I give you two guys a friendly piece of advice, okay? Don't ever go up to the drive-thru, okay? Always walk up to the counter. You know what? Okay. You at the drive-thru, okay? They you at the drive-thru. They know you're gonna be miles away before you find out you got okay? They know you're not gonna turn around and go back. So they don't care who gets Leo gets. Okay, sure. I don't give a I'm not eating this tuna, okay?
Shut up!
And now.
But I just want to know why. Just tell me that, will you please? Just tell me why.
Our feature presentation.
I'm not sure, Batman, but thank you very much and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday morning.
Where is that tuna thing from? That's so funny.
I don't know
Joe
either.
Pesci. It's a Joe Pesci movie. Someone will let us know. It's one of those classics. Goodfellas or one of those movies.
Was that pitched up though? It sounded like mini Joe Pesci.
Honestly, I thought it was a woman.
Yeah, his voice is awfully high. That's for sure. I don't know. It's on YouTube. Maybe it was.
That's hilarious.
I don't remember the movie, but it is kind of classic. And I will tell you,
Lethal Weapon 3.
Thank you, Dave. Nice, Dave.
Wow, really?
I am Dave B. Comes through with Lethal Weapon 3.
Okay.
He said something that I think resonated with a whole generation of people who, to this day, refuse to go to the drive-thru for that reason, because you can't really check your food before you go. If you do, you're the a-hole who holds up the line. You're supposed to get your bag and then just gun it so that the next person can get up to the window. You don't really have time to go through and make sure you got all the stuff, and he's absolutely right. You're long gone by the time you realize they gave you something you won't eat.
Yeah, we've had that discussion many times. What are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I just, smash my way through the McDonald's drive-thru when they don't have chicken McNuggets. That's how I handle it.
That's how you do.
I thought this was interesting. Here's a survey from Honeywell Aerospace talking about how much people have become addicted to Wi-Fi on airplanes. People just get the shakes now if they ever get on a flight. And by the way, you fly across the ocean, you fly to Europe or something like that, you can't get Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. So there are still some airlines and some routes where it's just not available. You get on the plane and somebody who's used to looking at their phone every 3 minutes wigs out because they don't have that option anymore. How much do people want Wi-Fi on planes? I thought this was interesting. 42% in the survey, said that they would give up in-flight snacks in exchange for Wi-Fi on a plane.
Well, I believe that because you barely get those snacks anymore.
Don't feed me. Give me Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
All right? So you're down. So you're in that 42%.
Yeah, I'll bring my snacks.
38% would give up being able to have a preferred seat. So that means you're rolling the dice. You might get that middle seat, but you'd have Wi-Fi. Is it worth it? You still in?
No.
You would not do that?
No, I would not do that.
45% say they would be willing to go through security twice in exchange for Wi-Fi.
No, I would not do that.
36% say they would arrive at their gate 3 hours early if it meant Wi-Fi.
As opposed to 2 hours.
I assume so.
Is that right? Okay, so an extra hour.
27%. Now, some of these aren't realistic because this doesn't make any sense, but 27% said they would trade their ticket for a standby ticket on a later flight. In other words, give up the flight they are supposed to be on, go on a later flight if it meant the later flight had Wi-Fi.
No, I would not do that.
31% would leave from an airport an hour out of their way. How much do people need to play Angry Birds on a plane? 26% would suffer a two-hour layover. And 19%, this was the most shocking to me, 19% would sit through a three-hour delay while already on the plane.
Oh, there's no way. That's a terrible trade-off. Are
you
kidding?
That's miserable, right?
Why don't they just stay home and play on their computer and their
right,
phone?
Exactly.
Because clearly that's all they want to do.
Clearly they have no place they need to
be. Yeah.
And the one that got the most attention in the headline of this article is the 13% of Americans who said they would give up a restroom on the flight if they could have Wi-Fi.
Now, well, I'm not sitting next to them.
I'm sure that depends an awful lot on how far the flight is.
Right.
I mean, if you're flying to Egypt, maybe not so much. If it's to San Francisco, maybe you can do it. But you don't even want to take that chance, do you?
That's nuts. I don't get that. I mean, you could load DVDs on your, if you're going to bring your laptop, or you could
right.
even,
you're right. You can still look at a screen if you need to. You just don't have connectivity.
Wow.
So people be loving their Wi-Fi.
I guess. It's kind of sad, really.
It is. Well, look, people can't sit at a stoplight anymore without looking at, the internet on their phone. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised. We certainly have become addicted. All right, 5:41. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
My eyes!
Well, it's not that bad.
Well, we'll see.
NFL season starts today, you guys.
Yay!
It's finally here. What does that mean to you, Lisa? It doesn't change your life much, does it?
It means nothing. It just means that my boyfriend falls asleep to football instead of golf.
All right. For the rest of this, though, our Sundays are radically changed, as are some Mondays and some Thursdays. It definitely does make a difference to our schedule when football returns. But we're going to talk about that today, including how you can make some money on it. Maybe this is the year your team goes all the way and you can bet on it in Las Vegas. We're going to have the odds maker for Caesars Palace on the phone today talking about that. There's a great story this week about some ladies who quit a retail job in a spectacular fashion. We'll tell you about that and look for your stories on awesome ways you quit your job. Sometimes it's not just enough to put in your 2 weeks notice and quietly wait for the calendar to run out.
How you quit this bitch.
Exactly. Sometimes you got to quit this bitch. Tons of new video game releases coming out. We are getting into the fall season. Christmas right around the corner. We'll talk to our friend Adam Sessler, see what we should be spending our money on. Dr. Drew on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
And how about our old friend Boss Rutten back in studio?
Awesome.
Former UFC world champion, MMA legend, Boss Rutten on the program today. All that's coming up in a brand new Internet Roundup 2, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat next here on K-Rock. Pennywise on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ with The Neighborhood, Atlas Genius, The Offspring, and Lord. All on the way in the next few minutes. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, you.
What's happening, man?
Things in show business.
I like these 4-day work weeks, by the way. Can I just put in, just throw that out there to management that the 4-day work week is good for me?
Feel free.
Yeah, I like it.
It's good
like
for us, too, if you take a 4-day work week. Take a 3, well, take a 2, take a 1. Hey, you know what? We got it. We're good. Thanks, buddy. You relax.
I hope this would go. I thought we'd all be on the same team.
Grow an organ. Sit back, grow an organ, relax.
Well, I could use some of those.
I know.
What's all this great stuff in showbiz happening that you want to tell us about?
Well, now we know Lamar Odom, Khloe Kardashian's husband and NBA player, has checked himself into rehab for drug and alcohol abuse. According to People.com, they've got a source who said he realized he needs help. Really? How did he know that? Move comes not even a week after he was arrested for DUI. This, of course, puts into question whether he'll be playing for the LA Clippers this season after his stint in rehab is finished. Guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
I thought he was with the Knicks now.
Yes, that's what I meant to say. Sorry. I was thinking Clippers because he used to be a Clipper, of course.
Right, sure, yeah.
Hey, you need a property? In Montreal, well, Celine Dion is selling hers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I bet it's inexpensive, Ralph.
It's really a bargain, because listen what you get. This is a 6-bedroom home in Montreal. Celine is selling it because she's just way too busy to enjoy the property.
She's in Las Vegas a lot of the year, right?
Yes. She has stopped by twice in the past 2 years. Imagine having a home where you only live in it twice in 2 years.
Yeah.
It is a 24,000-square-foot home featuring, the usual home gym, gold chandeliers, 18-person dining room, sunrooms, game rooms, a pool, and, of course, a helipad, which is convenient because it is located on a private island.
Oh, wow.
All of this can be yours for the low, low price of... Any guesses?
Oh, I think that's got to be... That has to be over $200,000.
Once again, your instincts are unerring. $28 million.
Wow. I was going to guess $15
million.
Oh, my God.
I wonder what she paid for it.
Yeah, no idea.
I have no idea either. I bet it wasn't those. She probably built it. Probably wasn't even.
Yeah, probably so.
She just bought the property.
And isn't it interesting that if you're a big enough celebrity like Celine Dion is, we don't care about her, but a lot of people would. your house automatically becomes more valuable because people are buying it from you.
Sure.
You can jack it up even more because, hey, Celine Dion used to live here.
In a related story, Celine Dion is selling her dream home.
What?
This time in Florida.
Oh, how many properties does she have?
I can only imagine. But she's stocking them deep and selling them cheap, apparently. It's volume. That's how she makes money on her homes. Volume. Star Magazine reports that her house in Florida is also going up for sale. Now, this one's a little bit bigger.
Okay.
It has, you know, 13 bedrooms. Five of them have ocean views. The master suite has two outdoor decks, one with a fireplace, one with a hot tub.
Sure.
The closet has an automatic rack for clothes and a motorized carousel for shoes. The pool is so big that it has its own lazy river and water park. The guest house has eight bedrooms.
Why do you need a guest house?
Well, Lisa, let's say you know you have 13 bedrooms. Let's say you're having, oh, I don't know, 22 people over.
Well, I do that all the time,
then you
so
need
I can
to
see
move
the
some
problem.
People into the eight-bedroom guest house. This is all on 5 acres. Any guesses as to what this one's going for? Ocean views?
Well, because of the guest house, I'm going to say this one's at least $250,000.
Well, once again, you really should get into real estate. You've got a knack for this. This is a mere $75 million.
Oh, my God.
If you'd like to pick up that property. That's the asking price. Look, you can probably negotiate her down to $70 million.
What if I buy both? Can I get a package deal if I buy both properties, Florida and Canada?
I mean, you know, if you do the math, it would be just a hair over 100 mil, but you could probably pick them up for 100 mil.
Dude.
And as Lisa pointed out, she doesn't live in either of these houses.
No,
these
she doesn't.
Just spares.
And it's just her husband, and her kid, too, by the way.
Just sitting empty someplace most of the year, these homes.
Yeah, she doesn't have 40 people in her family.
What a kick-ass rental.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You should rent that out.
But you can only rent to the Sultan of Brunei. That's who could afford to rent a place like that?
I guess we forget how big a star she was.
Yeah.
She's making so much money in Vegas, too.
Yeah, true.
Today's celebrity birthday is one of my favorites. Comedian actor Bob Newhart is 84 years old today. Still sharp as a tack, by the way.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Actress Raquel Welch. Oh, come on. Still at 73. I would wreck her. Actor Michael Keaton. Had one of my showbiz fantasies come true this summer when I got a chance to meet him at Comic-Con this year. What a nice guy. 62 years old today. Brad Wilk, drummer for Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave, of course, is 45 years old. Dweezil Zappa is 44. The bitch Rose McGowan is 40 years old today. And actress Kat Graham celebrates her 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Who's ready for some football?
Everyone in the whole world is ready for some football as the return of the NFL for the new season kicks off tonight. By the way, there's the NFL preseason show that they started doing a couple years ago with a free Keith Urban concert. That's going to be at 7:30.
Okay.
And then after that, the game is at 8:30. Of course, these are East Coast time, so a little earlier for us. That's going to be the Ravens versus the Broncos to kick it off. Who's your team, by the way, Beer Mug?
I don't have a team, but I go with the San Diego Chargers since, you know, they're only 2 hours away, if I had to pick.
Because they're the closest team you can root for.
Exactly.
Well, the Chargers don't play until Monday night. Ralph's Eagles also play on Monday night. My Seahawks are playing Sunday. Let's see. Chip's Dolphins are playing on Sunday as well. They got the Browns. Kevin's Arizona Cardinals are playing Sunday against the Rams. But we thought we'd check in with one of our favorite NFL correspondents. We're very lucky from time to time to get a chance to talk to a man who's won a couple of Super Bowls, our friend Bill Belichick with the New England Patriots, who's had a very exciting preseason and must be as excited as we are about the regular season finally getting here tonight. Hi, Coach. How are you today, sir?
Good.
It's pretty exciting. This is a big day in the hearts of all football fans when the NFL is finally here after a long, dry summer. You must be just pumped.
Yep.
You certainly sound it. You practicing the guys right now?
Yep.
And how you feeling about your team? I mean, I know everyone's optimistic, of course, before the first game. Everyone's got a shot. Tell me about your squad this year.
They have a shot.
Right. What do you like about the Patriots for 2013?
Offense and defense.
Could you be more specific maybe about some of the things you've seen from some of your players in preseason games so far?
Sure.
I was hoping you might expand on that remark, Coach.
Playing hard.
Right. You've had 4 games to watch your boys. Who's impressed you so far?
the players.
So this year you're opening up with the media?
Mm-hmm.
What? How's Tom Brady looking? How's he feeling?
Good.
There was a lot of interest in you having Tim Tebow with the team for a while. You eventually let him go. Can you tell us about that decision?
He wasn't that good.
Okay. So you just have Tom, and then you've got Ryan Mallett as your backup quarterback. You don't have a third guy. Is there a possibility that you might still go back to Tebow at some point if one of your other guys gets hurt?
No, I do have a third guy.
You have a third guy. I'm sorry. Who's that?
His name's Llama. he's a good quarterback.
Right.
Better than Tebow.
Yeah, well...
been working him hard.
Okay.
Two-a-days, trying to get him in football shape.
Well, is it legal to put a llama, an actual animal, out on the field? Coach, what happened? Why, you sounded fine. Coach Belichick, what happened?
The llama just threw up.
Thursday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. I challenge you to find any radio show on any station that features a llama vomiting at 6:30 in the morning. Good luck with that.
That's a good challenge.
And at 9:10 this morning, we'll give you another chance to win a brand new Xbox 360. Plus, everyone who wins also gets to play Linkin Park's new Xbox game called Recharge at a secret party in Venice Beach with the band. That's at 9:10 this morning. Then again at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Get those details at krock.com. Hey, it's that time of the week we love so much where we do a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
If you're not going to krock.com or kevinandbean.com at least once a week to check out the brand new Internet Roundup videos, then frankly you are not doing it right, because we put a lot of work into finding all the best viral videos of the week, and we put them up there in one spot just for you so you can keep current. This first one, for instance, is that guy, and we've all been there, who, he has the world's worst experience. He's popping bottles. He's living it up. He's spending money like there's no tomorrow until this announcement comes over the intercom at the disco.
Hey, we got a Jimmy Tate show in the house.
Yeah!
What's up, guys?
Hey, your card was declined. So, can you just put that bottle down, like right now? I'd ask for a second card, but you already called the bank, and you have $17 in your savings. So,
Oh, no.
I love how they don't come up to him and, like, discreetly whisper in his ear, "I'm sorry, sir, there's a problem with your credit card." They make sure to announce it to the entire club and make him leave the club instantly.
Hilarious.
It's pretty awesome. Of course, with just a few episodes left of Breaking Bad, everybody is going crazy with their videos reimagining Breaking Bad in so many different ways. This one is so well done. What if Breaking Bad had an audience and were cut just like the Seinfeld show? It's a completely different program.
Just to hash things out like adults. Everything we need to discuss. I thought I made myself very clear.
You got dipping sticks.
It's just, it's not, it doesn't quite have the menacing effect that maybe Breaking Bad does. Here's a new one with Dave Franco, who I hate because he's with my girlfriend Allison Brie in real life, and our friend Christopher Mintz-Plasse. They are sitting around on their couch, you know, just ripping bongs and watching TV, and then they realize, hey, we can do anything we want. And they just go crazy, and they start putting stuff in the microwave and blowing it up, and they start farting underwater, and they start making prank phone calls, and they are having the best time two guys have ever had. This is called The Announcement.
Let's do everything we've always wanted to do, but for some reason never have, you know? Let's make a day of it.
Oh! Oh! That's what you get, highlighter!
They don't even know each other.
No, they do.
They apparently are hitting the road, by the way. They're going to be making a series of videos doing crazy things, trying to get the Guinness World Records, doing a whole bunch of stuff all the way across the United States. Again, that's Dave Franco and Christopher Mintz Plasse. And that is the kickoff video you can see in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Here's an awesome prank video. And I assume that this is coming out now because Star Trek Into Darkness is going to be coming out on DVD and Blu-ray soon.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided to, I think this was Simon Pegg's idea. Of course, he's Scotty in the movies. He decided to prank his other cast members by telling them that they had to put this neutron cream on their face because of some area of the Starship Enterprise that they were filming in had radiation. And all of these actors believed it. Zachary Quinto believed it. And Benedict Cumberbatch believed it. And they're all walking around with this cream on their face because they think they're going to get radiation poisoning or something. And then one by one, it's revealed to them that they have been pranked. And it's very, very funny.
I always feel bad for people who are being pranked. However, to see Benedict and John Cho and Carl Urban get punked the way they did, it was wild as that stuff.
I'm John Cho.
And I'm Carl Urban.
And we've been...
We've been had. They're reading off of cue cards. And that was J.J. Abrams at the beginning, who wasn't in on the prank, but thought it was hilarious and was happy to see it going off on his set. The world exploded yesterday. The internet just blew up when we saw the words, Alyssa Milano sex tape. I'm not joking. Here's a little piece of that. You can see the whole thing in the internet roundup.
Wow.
She got it there.
It's my camera. I want to show you something.
Yeah, I want to show you something.
Okay. Let's see if I can figure out how to...
Our nation is on the brink of yet another conflict in the Middle East. This time, in Syria.
How unfortunate. The camera gets turned right at the last possible second as they go into bed, and it's on the TV talking about Syria.
Oh, that's a bummer.
That is not sexy. It's not what we want from our Alyssa Milano sex tape. All right, I don't know how this got out. For once, I don't think Farrah Abraham released this for publicity. You know, it seems like she does everything. She's the teen mom, of course, the backdoor teen mom. It seems like she does everything to get people to look at her as much as possible. I doubt that she released this because this might be the worst show business audition you've ever heard. She is reading lines.
This.
Am I right? Is it the worst thing you've ever seen?
Oh, my God.
She's reading lines, apparently trying to audition for a role on the daytime soap opera called Days of Our Lives. And for starters, she hasn't memorized any of the lines. She's reading them all off of her cell phone.
Yeah.
For seconders, she just can't act. Here's a little of teen mom Farrah Abraham.
It's no big deal. Is it a crime to talk to them? To entertain them? To provide them companionship? I mean, at least they show more respect for me than you do. You don't know anything. Now get out of here. Get out. There, Abraham played the role of Destiny.
I somehow suspect she's not going to get that
you
role.
You must watch it. This is so funny.
Another one that is a great video is Jay Farrow. He is, of course, on Saturday Night Live. He does that phenomenal Denzel Washington impression. And he also apparently does a great Kanye West. This is a video that is a parody of the Kanye song called I Am a God, except Jay Farrow, dressed up in a dog suit, sings it as I Am a Dog, and it's awesome.
I'm a crazy bitch. Give me shots for my rabies, bitch. Matter of fact, give me some kibbles and bits. Mailman, you see me, your ass better dip. I'm staring at your plate. Vegas strips don't taste like steak. You wanna neglect me? Wanna neglect me? Why I'ma cheat your shoes so they non-existent? Throw this damn ball, bitch, stop resisting. Me and your new boys ain't coexisting, huh?
That's the video of the week right there, and he sounds so much like Kanye on that, too. Again, that is I Am a Dog. From time to time, somebody gets creative, puts together the funniest game show answers of all time. Here's the latest, and it's awesome.
During what month of pregnancy does a woman begin to look pregnant?
September.
Burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Naked, huh?
Doesn't she have pretty nipples, pretty dimples there?
And that goes on for like 5 minutes, just one right after another. It's so awesome. You have to check it out. And finally, on this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, this is the cutest little kid of the whole week. It seems like every kid is filmed for every minute of his life now, and that's why there are so many YouTube videos of kids saying adorable things.
Mm-hmm.
This kid has just gotten a present. He's 3, by the way, so I have to question the idea of giving the kid a bow and arrow. But that's his gift. He got a bow and arrow, and his dad is videotaping him talking about the kid, how excited he is about his bow and arrow. Check it out.
What'd you get, dude?
I got a booner.
Oh, cool.
Dad, yeah.
Are you going to shoot it?
Yes, I'm going to shoot it.
What'd you get?
A booner.
Rockstar got a bow and arrow.
Dad says at one point, he says, Daddy's the only one who's allowed to shoot that at Mommy. So there was a lot going on in that video. Anyway, check out the whole thing and all the other videos at KRock.com or KevinandBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
MMA legend Boss Rutten returns to the Kevin and Bean Show coming up later on today. Also, we'll talk new video game releases for the fall with our friend Adam Sessler, Dr. Drew on the program, and Ralph Garman right now with the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Forbes magazine's at it again. They have another list they just released. This is the list of highest paid TV actresses. Now, this isn't just for their work on TV. This also factors in movie salaries, endorsement deals.
Okay.
But these are the richest women of television. Here's the top 10. Kerry Washington. She's reportedly on a TV series called Scandal.
One of my favorite shows.
Of course it is.
On the Lisa Network. You are missing an awesome show.
Very popular show. Very popular.
With whom?
With America.
But with what kind of Americans?
With everybody. It's a huge hit.
Yeah.
She makes $3 million. A year.
She's great.
She pulled in $3 million the past year.
She's pretty.
Mindy Kaling from The Mindy Project, $4 million she pulled in over the past year. Whitney Cummings made $5 million over the past year.
Wow.
Really?
Mm.
Really?
Wow.
For what?
And her show was canceled.
Yes. But her other show is still on.
Right.
That Two Broke Girls in One Cup show
that's going.
Which is just awful.
Yeah, I can't watch it.
At seventh, there's a three-way tie. Courteney Cox, Zooey Deschanel, and Lena Dunham are all making $6 million this year.
Wow.
Juliana Margulies and Amy Poehler tied at sixth with $7 million apiece in income this year. Mm-hmm. Allison Hannigan, our buddy Allison Hannigan.
Wow.
Fifth on the list with $8 million. Just a hair above her. Her co-star from How I Met Your Mother, Kobe Smulders, made $9 million. She's fourth.
She made more? That surprises me.
Then there's a big tie.
Well, she's Canadian. I think it just goes further.
There's a big tie at third between Tina Fey, Ellen Pompeo, Melissa McCarthy, Bethany Frankel, and Khloe Kim and Kourtney Kardashian. Each of those ladies made $10 million this year.
And some of them worked really hard.
Some of them are talented and actually add to our television viewing experience.
How could you suggest that Melissa McCarthy isn't as talented as Kourtney Kardashian?
Tina Fey and Bethany Frankel are making the same amount of money.
That doesn't
make any sense at all.
Number two is a tie between Hayley Cuoco and Mariska Hargitay.
Okay.
Now, Kaylee is on, what show is she on?
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
$11 million each of those ladies made.
Wow.
But number one dwarfs the rest of them by a significant amount of money.
Farrah Abramson?
Not Farrah Abramson, Kevin, no.
I think I know who this has to be.
Do you?
Isn't it? It has to be Julia Louis-Dreyfus, right?
No! It's not even top 10.
Yeah, she's on cable.
Doesn't have
but
to
she,
be.
She's great,
she,
but...
Well,
but
maybe I'm wait, confused but, because she's worth over $3 billion. Maybe that's
her why
family. I assume
this
she's
is
making
she
a lot of
earned.
Money.
This is what this they what earned this
who,
year.
Who is
actress,
it?
TV actress earned this year. Oh, you're giving it pretty easy, aren't you, Lisa?
Yes.
All right, hold on. Let's think about it. Let's think about it.
Oh,
Network TV. Network TV show?
Yes.
Drama or comedy?
Comedy.
See, we're no good at this.
Dead air.
We're no good.
Yeah, we're no good
at
this.
Make a guess.
I mean, look, your top 10 already had like 30 women in it, so you hit all the ones I think I would have come up
with.
When
I say you go, oh, yeah. Sophia Vergara.
Oh, yeah.
Sophia Vergara.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought about that in Modern Family, but I just didn't think she would make that much.
Well, I told you.
Because it's an ensemble,
I told you it was salary plus endorsement deals.
She does a lot of
ads. She's got a big deals with Diet Pepsi.
Yep.
She's got a fashion line at Kmart. That all this year will net her $30
million. Oh, man.
I support that. I endorse that. I'm fine with that.
Yep.
Power to her.
Imagine her looking like that and having $30 million.
Yeah. I sort of have a boner.
she just owned a liquor store, she'd be the perfect woman. And speaking of actresses, Betty White has been picked by the Guinness Book of World Records. She will be in the new 2014 edition. Here's her achievement. Longest TV career for a female entertainer. She has been in television for 74 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she started in 1939. I remember we had her on a few months ago, and we talked about that. Before most people had TV, she was already on TV.
Yeah, it's madness.
It's incredible. Who's the, does it say, Ralph, who the male person is?
A British actor named Bruce Forsyth, who also has been on television for 74 years in the UK.
So. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And while we're talking television, Jon Stewart's back in his ratings show. It first night back for Jon pulled in better than 2 million viewers. It's nearly a quarter more than last year's show on the same date. People missed Jon, so they tuned in to watch him come back. Jon Oliver kept Stewart's seat warm during his hiatus and did pretty good. Kept average viewers in The Daily Show for about 1.3 million viewers, so it was pretty level. But when Jon came back, everyone was obviously very happy to watch.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
I am.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, and the celebrity birthdays too. Bob Newhart, 84 years old today. Actress and sex symbol Raquel Welch is 73. Michael Keaton turned 62 today. Drummer Brad Wilk of Rage and Audioslave is 45. Dweezil Zappa, TV personality and musician, he's 44 years old today. And the bitch Rose McGowan celebrates her 40th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Lisa, you're too nice to ever think about this, but many of us look forward to the day that we get to quit this bitch.
Yeah. No, I've never stormed out of an office place.
A lot of people look for the opportunity. They sit in their little cubicles and they drive their route, or they're behind their register, or they're at their desk or behind the counter, wherever they are in their job. And every day the consuming thought is, one day I'm going to be able to say, take this job and shove it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to marry wealthy, if I'm going to win the lottery, if my dream job is going to fall in my lap. Whatever it is, I'm one day going to be able to leave this place in a blaze of glory. And it's a pretty satisfying daydream, I have to be honest. I'm the opposite. I don't have a scorched earth policy. You guys know, you'll just never hear from me again. When my time comes, that's it. There won't be any goodbye. I'll just be gone.
Yeah.
And I know you're all looking forward to that as much as I am. But the reason I bring all this up, and the reason I want to take some phone calls from people who have managed to spectacularly quit a job. You walked out in a way that went far beyond, here's my 2 weeks notice and I'm going to be a good employee and work the last 10 days of my employment now. You made it known that you weren't happy, didn't like it there, and were happy to be gone to something better. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
I was just going to say, I bet most of the time this happens because you've just had it. Like, you snapped. You weren't planning it. It just, that was that. You were done.
Yeah, that's a great point. In other words, you haven't won the lottery. You don't have another job. All you know is that being unemployed even is better than this crappy job that you're putting up with right now.
Exactly.
So you, you're cool. You, I'm out.
That's a perfect example of what we're talking about. Here's why this is in the news. There's of course, you know the Journeys chain. We have them in Southern California, too. They sell, you know, footwear and clothing. There's one in Rochester, I assume New York, in the Marketplace Mall there. And three employees decided to leave during the middle of the day. Now, it's a busy time of year at a store like that because of back to school. So they closed up the security gate. This is a store in a mall. So they pulled the gate down so that the store was closed so that nobody could come in.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put a handwritten note to their manager, who I assume was out of the store for lunch or something at the time. So here's what he or she saw when he or she came back to the store, which is now closed in the middle of the day in a mall, a busy mall during back to school. Handwritten note. Dear Jamie, since you decided to say cancer is not an excuse and think that it's okay to swear at your employees like you do all the time, we quit. This is why you can't keep a store manager longer than a year. You abuse your staff. Enjoy the fact that you lost a store manager, a co-manager, and a key holder in the middle of the back-to-school season. Think about that next time you treat people the way you do. We will not allow it anymore. Nikki, Jess, and TJ.
Well done. I love
it. What's going through Jamie's mind when he comes back And there's that handwritten note on his store that's closed. He's just got to think, I am effed. Because you know he's got to explain to somebody above him why half of his staff just quit.
Yes. He'll make up some story. He'll never learn. Those people never get it.
As has been pointed out in this story, by the way, malls typically subject store owners to a fine of up to $500 per day for each unannounced closure, which is really the cherry on the top.
They do?
I apparently so. I didn't know that either. So that's in the news right now. That's an awesome way that those employees, Nikki, Jess, and TJ, decided they were quitting that bitch. We're taking your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about the way that you quit your job in a spectacular fashion. And the reason we call this quit your bitch is because of a story from a couple of years ago about a woman in our profession. Her name is Arnetta the Moodsetta. She was working at a radio station in Alabama, and I know you remember this very famous air check, Lisa.
Yes.
She just decided she had had enough, and she shared with her listeners why it was time for her to go.
I refuse to walk around and watch people on my job looking over my shoulder, people lying to me, people talking about me. It's ridiculous. It is sad. I can't take it. I'm not gonna take it. I don't have to take it. I'm not a dummy. I know how to find another job.
By the way, as I'm listening to the tape, I'm almost surprised even this far in, like 22 seconds in, that somebody in management or in programming hasn't come in and yanked her off the air or cut her mic. Because you know how it is in radio, Lisa. You don't have a chance to say goodbye 99% of the time in this business.
Yeah, they erase you. They're yes. like better than the CIA. You yes. disappear. But obviously, like this radio station, no one listens in management.
Yeah, maybe that's what's going on. Exactly right. You almost never get the chance to say goodbye if you're on the radio.
No.
One day you'll wake up and the Kevin and Bean Show just won't be here.
And they won't acknowledge we ever were.
Yeah, we'll be gone.
Yeah.
They don't want you to have the opportunity to go on the radio and say anything that you want because of things like this.
But I refuse to walk around people. You can say what you want to say about me. And if you see me on the street, I'll let you know whatever you want to know. But I refuse. For the last 6 years, I made $6 an hour. That ain't nothing. I just got a raise after 6 years. I know I'm qualified, and after saying this, I don't care if I ever get another job in radio, period. It does not matter to me.
By the way, I'm listening to her show. I would pay her more than $6 an hour. I'm finding her extremely entertaining right now.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
But she's not done yet.
But Arnetta will not be setting the mood at BLX no more. I refuse to walk around with people that'll speak to you. Hey, Arnetta, how you doing? But then as soon as you walk by, that bitch, I will not do it to myself anymore. So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Yes, there she is.
I love it.
There's the original, I quit this bitch. All right, let's take one call before the break, and let's make it Frankie. Frankie is on line 6 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll take your calls to 1-800-520-1067. How did you quit your job? What was the blaze of glory that they didn't see coming? Frankie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling. What happened?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, well, basically, he was just really racist, and I just moved here from Florida, and I was a little server boy. And he would call me, you know, rat bag, all these mean names. And so one day I just woke up, I just told him to F himself, and I never heard back from him. But, you know.
So how did you tell him? Did you tell him in person?
I texted him. Yeah, I texted him. And then, I you know, they kept calling me, so I just answered, and I told him, you know, I hate you guys, and just F yourself. And, yeah, so, and I drove by the restaurant, and it's closed. I don't know if they went under or what happened, but, yeah, he was
wow.
a jerk.
But how great did that feel? Like Lisa said, you just got to the point where you were making yourself sick if you had to get dressed and go into that job. You had to quit, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like a goal. I had to do it.
Yeah, and I bet that felt pretty good when you set off that text.
Amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah. All right, Frankie, thanks very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on how you quit this bitch when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're taking calls on how you quit this bitch. You had a spectacular way to leave your job. I know sometimes it feels pretty good. Like Lisa said, sometimes you just can't stand the place anymore. You don't even have a better opportunity. You just have to get out of there. How did you make sure that they're still talking about you even though you don't work there anymore? Let's squeeze in as many calls as we can. We'll start with John. He's on line four. He is up first in this segment here on the Kevin and Bean Show. John, thanks for hanging on, and thanks for calling, my friend. What's happening?
Morning, party people.
Good morning, John.
Morning to you.
Well, you know, how to leave spectacularly, you know what I mean?
Sure.
What'd you do?
So I worked for an employer that made national headlines a number of years ago, who was a debt collection agency named Rumson Bowling & Associates. Well, guy was pretty darn abusive inside that office. There's about 100 such employees. It was a regular thing, violence, yelling, screaming. This guy was just a total tool bag. So at some point, you know, realizing what we're doing there is not really legitimate, I contacted the Federal Trade Commission because they were already coming down on him to some extent. And I just kind of gave them what I know, and they asked me to provide documentation. So, you know, some people call informant, some people call a rat. I'll take it. I became a rat. This guy was such a jerk. He deserved every bit of it.
I call you a whistleblower and an American.
So
well, they didn't give me my 1% like they said they would. Well, whatever.
So you basically, before you quit, you turned state's evidence essentially against the company, got them in big trouble with the Federal Trade Commission, and then walked out when?
Well, that's a pretty heavy statement saying turn state's evidence. I would say I just provided some documents and mm-hmm. This guy got what he deserved. But when I quit in the job, I stayed in there for an extra 6 months just to wait for them to actually come in the front door. And when about 15, 20 of them came in the front door, I kind of gave them a little wink and said, I quit, walked right out. Said,
oh, that's awesome.
Straight past. Everyone got restrained. Everyone had to stop. But I was the only one allowed to leave and walk out that building. I did it with a big smile on my face.
Wait.
That actually had to take some real patience to hate it there and hang on just waiting for the government to show up at the front door. But that's an awesome story. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's move on to Aaron. He's on line one. He didn't have quite as sophisticated an exit strategy, perhaps. Aaron, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. Thanks for being
Thank
Hi,
you.
Aaron.
What'd you do?
All right. Here's a scenario. I worked at the Promenade, AMC Promenade in the Valley on Tobago Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And I got written up. They had me working on Thanksgiving, and I got written up for eating hot dog. So you're not allowed to be seen eating, I guess, on the job. But anyway, I paid for it and everything. Anyway, so I got written up, and I was, like, done, because I already had enough money to buy my whatever DVD player. So anyway, I was mad, and I took a crap in the theater.
Oh, no.
This is where it's bad. I feel bad about this part. See, I wanted to just get the employees. Someone must have said something, so they had to clean it up. But all right, so the theaters, when there's no movie going, you know how there's lights on, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I kind of had to use one that was going, right? So I did it in a stadium where the hallway is before the theaters go up, the seats go up. So I went right in the hallway, and it was like three Red Bulls and Chinese food everywhere.
Oh my God.
That's enough.
Right before the movie got out, I had to walk through it. It was really bad.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right, we got the picture.
We got the gist. Thank you very much. Oh, my God.
I don't think we were looking for that, but...
That's awesome or awful?
I don't know. I think it's kind of awful.
Let's go to Caesar. He's on line six. Caesar, thank you for calling. How did you quit this bitch?
Hey, I was working at Starbucks a few years back as a shift lead,
mm-hmm.
and I had requested... I'm sorry... Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Caesar.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I had requested a time off for a specific event. I can't remember what it was, but it was important. And I requested months in advance, and the manager told me, yes, I'll approve it. It's approved. Don't worry about it. Well, she decides to hold on to the schedule with that day. She holds on to it until the day she leaves for vacation, drops it, and I look at the schedule, and I'm working on that day.
All right.
Wow. That's BS.
So now we know why you quit. How'd you do it?
I worked the day. It was a holiday weekend. I can't remember what it was, but I essentially closed the store down early. I sent the employees home. I closed it down early, and I hid the key somewhere on the premise. So it was technically, you know, I didn't keep the key. It was just somewhere on there. I just didn't bother to tell them where.
Oh, my God.
She came back and she looked at the records and she noticed that I had closed the store early and she was blowing my phone up.
That was it. You just basically, you quit and knew you weren't going back and just wanted to make sure she knew, she registered your dissatisfaction.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, she heard it from the other employees too, because they didn't quit.
Right.
You know, it wasn't their fault that I had sent them home early. So they were just following orders.
Gotcha, Caesar. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Scott. We got to try to cram in a couple more calls here. A lot of good ones. He's on line 5. Scott, thank you for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What'd you do?
Hey, morning, party people.
Hi.
All right. I used to work for an office supply store, and they're cutting back costs. I had to clean the bathroom. I worked the register. I did go bags. I did everything. Straw that broke the camel's back is when I had to work 2 hours after closing, cleaning up the store after everybody's mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get paid for the extra 2 hours. And this went on for like 3 or 4 weeks.
What?
So finally, on my last day, I decided I couldn't take it anymore. I got into one of those carts they have in the store for the old people to shop around in. It was a little electric one.
Right.
Yeah.
And they said I had to do go back. So, you know, I'm doing like the whole Austin Powers thing. I'm crashing into the aisles on purpose. I'm throwing stuff like a paperboy, not even aiming at the shelf, just knocking stuff off, busting stuff.
Oh,
my God. Doing donuts the whole nine.
Are you the only person in the store at this time?
This is like probably like 3 hours before close, so we still had a good amount of customers in there.
And you're just trashing the place.
Yeah, but the cherry on the ice cream was that I parked it in the center of the store, got on the phone, typed in the intercom code, got on the speaker and said, you know, attention customers, this is my last day. If any customers or managers have any problems with my performance, please feel free to speak with me in the parking lot.
That's awesome.
And then you just walked out and never looked back.
Nope.
That is spectacular.
See, our listeners can be motivated when they want to be.
Yeah, I like that.
Adam Sessler from Rev3 Games is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so, talking about all the new games that everybody's talking about, Diablo 3, Dead or Alive 5, the new Madden is out. He's the one who gets them all, plays them all, advises us on what's good, what's bad. That's coming up. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today and MMA legend Boss Rutten coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. That was a little bit of a surprising news story that Ralph gave us yesterday, Lisa, about the great Jack Nicholson possibly having already acted in his last movie.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad. Here's a guy who was in television for a lot of years. It's hilarious, by the way. You still see him occasionally pop up on old TV shows, like on the Andy Griffith Show. You know, he was just a character actor, just trying to get work in Hollywood like everybody else. And then he became a big movie star, you know, in films like Easy Rider and Five Easy Pieces. And then he was off and running with the Chinatown and so many other movies. He's won 3 Oscars, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, As Good as It Gets, and For Terms of Endearment. But according to a report, he now will no longer act because he's 76 years old, he has memory issues, and can no longer remember the lines being asked of him. I hope this isn't true. He's great in every movie that he's in, and it just wasn't that long ago he was in things like, you know, like The Departed, for instance, and Something's Gotta Give, About Schmidt. I mean, the guy is still doing great work, but we wanted to find out more. We asked producer Dave, is there any chance you'd get our old friend Jack back on the line? I think Mr. Nicholson joins us now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jack.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. It's always an honor to talk to a man that we respect as much as we do you.
Well, it's also a pleasure for me to be talking to whoever you are.
Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kevin Bean on
K-Rock. Cleared
K-Rock.
This with your people. That's right, Jack. That's
rock
right.
And roll.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
you like the rock music.
At.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
So
what can I do for you this morning?
Well, we want to get your comment on this report that everybody was talking about yesterday, that you have quietly retired without fanfare after being an actor for 50 years.
Well, as Mark Twain once said, reports of my demise are... Wait a minute. Mark Twain said, great... I believe it was Mark Spitz who said...
No, you were right the first time. It was Mark Twain.
Twain said, reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
There you go. Yeah. Now you got it. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where this story got started or why people think I'm quitting movies.
Well, it's a Hollywood insider. Unfortunately, they don't attribute it to anybody that we can ask. But they said there's a simple reason behind the decision. It's his memory loss. Quite frankly, at 76, Jack has memory issues, can no longer remember the lines being asked of him. So he says, you will no longer act.
Well, trust me, with a life like mine, you want to remember it.
Oh, I bet.
Well, yeah,
and
you
do
live.
Yeah.
You live a dream life.
I absolutely do. Ever since when I first started making movies.
Mm-hmm.
For Roger Corman, I remember saying,
"Oh, Jack!"
I think I was James Bond, right?
No, yeah, unfortunately.
Did I play James Bond?
No, no, that wasn't you. That was maybe you're thinking of your good friend Sean Connery, maybe, who also apparently is retired from acting. But no, you were not James Bond.
No, I had Gold Bond medicated powder.
Oh. That's very different.
Just this morning. Put it on my feet.
Now,
it's important to have dry feet.
Well, of course.
If I could give you one piece of advice.
Yes.
Wear sunscreen would be
That's it. Sunscreen. That's the one, yeah.
And have dry feet.
Dry
because
feet would be number
two. Don't, you get blisters and
we're going off on a
all
tangent.
Sorts of things that make it very difficult to walk.
Okay,
and it
we're
turns
actually
out that walking is important.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't really want to get off on this podiatry tangent. But listen, are you going to miss acting if, in fact, you are hanging it up? I mean, do you love it, or is it something you've just been doing to stay busy for the last few years?
Well, as Mark Twain once said, reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Right. I didn't ask if you were dead. I just said, will you miss acting because you enjoy the craft?
Yes. I do. Hi there. What can I do for you?
By the way, I haven't asked. Is it still 150 degrees where you live, Ralph?
It's relentless.
It's been a long couple of weeks, right?
Last night, I don't know, it was 10 o'clock at night, and it was just humid and like 85, and I'm like...
I know. I was walking Boner at 7. It's the only time you could, and there still was... It was eight in the mid-80s, yeah. No hint of a breeze.
It's crushing.
It's like you're living in a desert.
It is.
That's hot.
It's got a break, though. It's got a break, right?
I would think
not today.
I don't know. Usually by the time football gets here, maybe it's less than 100. That's all
I'm
saying.
We usually have, I mean, L.A. is famous for traditionally warm Septembers and sometimes even into October. But this has been just a bad patch.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Oof.
Yeah. All right, 7:53 now. Again, Adam Sessler talks new video game releases. Nope, this is Sessler, not Carolla, coming up here on the Kevin DeBede Show. First, though, Ruff's got the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some more of these tickets. I've been giving them away all week for a very cool event. It is the premiere of The Wizard of Oz. That's right.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
I'm going to tell you in a minute, David. Yes, I'm literally going to put you in a time machine and send you back to 1939, and you'll be there for the premiere of The Wizard of Oz. Just don't pick up a penny with a date on it. Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D. It's different. It's better. It's happening September the 15th at the TCL Chinese Theater. They need to get a better name. The TCL Chinese Theater.
What's that stand for?
Some company that bought the Chinese Theater.
All right.
Of course, the movie is in selected IMAX theaters starting Friday, September the 20th, but you'll see it 5 days before everybody else at The Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D premiere. And this is this movie is very near and dear to us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, because our good friend and phone screener, Chip, her people are from there. They're friends.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Oz.
A lot of her family is in that movie, right?
She comes from a long line of munchkins, so it's a pleasure. Give her a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call her. First six callers who get through will get pair passes to see The Wizard of Oz in IMAX 3D.
Yeah, but where can I get them?
I told you, call the number, talk to Chip, and say, we represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild.
Now, Brad Williams gets in free, though, right?
Yeah, of course.
He doesn't even need a ticket.
Well, they don't even notice him
going
in.
Chip and Brad Williams had a child. It would just disappear.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
Midget pants, exactly.
It would just stay whatever weight it was born at for the rest of its life.
I hope all the stars of the movie show up for the red carpet.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
cool.
It'd be nice to see Judy Garland and Ray Bolger and Frank Morgan.
Bad news, Ralph.
Jack Haley would be great to see him again.
None of them are really available much to
snobs.
See.
I guess they work
showbiz
a lot.
Snobs.
No.
Won't show up to the premiere. You know, it's been a long time since Eddie Murphy blessed us with his music. Party All the Time. Boogie in the Butt.
Yeah.
It's been decades since he gave us all that good stuff. Well, he's back. He's back with a new album on the way called Nine. And the first single has dropped. It's a reggae song featuring Snoop Lion, the artist formerly known as Snoop Dogg. The video for the single will premiere on September the 9th. Eddie Murphy and Snoop Lion doing a reggae song called Red Light. Now, you say to yourself, well, that's got to suck, right? I think you're wrong.
Really?
Here's a little taste. That is not. Here's the real thing. This is Eddie Murphy and Snoop Lion, Red Light.
Red light, stop right. Of the pieces, let it begin, cause this is the way that we've flown. Higher and higher and higher we go. Through dedication, some preservation, I see I.
Two questions. First of all, every reggae song's been done already, right?
Yes. That has to be another Bob Marley song they're covering or something.
Right, right, exactly.
But it's, that being said, good,
was that,
right?
Was that Eddie doing the lead vocal on that? They weren't trying to bury him behind somebody who can... I actually did not hate that as much as I expected to.
Well, I'm not a reggae fan, but if you were, I would think you'd listen to that and go, sure is reggae.
It's
not bad at all.
That's Eddie Murphy, huh?
With Snoop Lion backing him up.
All right.
Pretty sweet stuff. Now the tailpipe. Oh, those crazy Eastwoods. They're entertaining. This is Clint and his estranged wife. What's her name? Dina?
Yes.
I believe that's right.
Dina. They split up, famously.
Mm-hmm.
And now the National Enquirer is saying that Clint's wife, Dina, is now dating her old high school sweetheart, guy named Scott Foster, who works as the basketball coach for the University of Hawaii. But wait, it gets juicier. Seen this week here in Los Angeles, Clint Eastwood was seen spending some time with Scott Foster's ex-wife, Erica Tomlinson Fisher. They were spending some time at his Southern California home, and he was seen dropping her off at LAX last Saturday. It's a swap!
Didn't Shania Twain and her best friend swap husbands?
That's right.
Yeah.
Same sort of deal here. Wow.
How convenient.
Well, maybe they're all happy now.
That would be nice.
Maybe so.
Imagine just a big four-way with 83-year-old Clint just trying to bang an empty chair. And just
wouldn't, even if it all works out, is it possible that you guys could still double date and all get along if you've swapped spouses?
I don't know.
Dude, I'm telling you, foursomes. Nude foursomes.
Maybe that's it.
Go ahead. Make me hard.
Oh, wow.
He's 83. It's hard.
Ugly.
It's not easy. And I think most parents would be uncomfortable if they knew that their daughter was going to get up on the big screen and do a softcore porn movie.
Yes.
Like Dakota Johnson is. She's just been cast as Anastasia in the big screen version of 50 Shades of Grey. Well, Melanie Griffith, who is her mom, has come forward and said she's the proudest mom ever.
Well, she is in showbiz.
And she can't wait to see her daughter Dakota simulate sex with Charlie Hunnam
on
the big
screen.
They're not
normal showbiz parents.
But I think in the best of cases, that would make you uncomfortable. Not so much your spouse or whatever. Yeah, I get that. But to see your child do that, that would have to be awkward. Even if you're in show business, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I would think so. I would think that you would be happy for her and you would support her decision, but you would never want to see the movie.
I will not be attending the premiere. And
my husband will definitely not be attending
the
premiere.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. The bitch Rose McGowan is 40 years old today.
Why do you say that about my dear sweet friend Rose McGowan?
Because she is a bitch. And she was a bitch.
Did
and
she say
to me,
something
she
mean to you one time
bitch.
Like 50
she did,
years
one
ago?
One time and he'll never forget.
And that was it.
But she was particularly bitchy. And she has never done anything to erase that memory from
her. She scoffed at issues.
I love her. Isn't she one of your charmed co-stars?
I was trying to think. I spent such a brief time on the set of Charmed. I was trying to remember if she was a member of the cast yet or not.
I don't think so.
She came late to the game.
I think you guys would have that in common, and you could smooth over whatever disagreement you might have had.
Nah, she's a bitch.
Maybe let that
bitch
grudge
got no
go.
Class.
Bitch got no class. Dweezil Zappa is 44 years old today. Michael Keaton. I'm Batman. He's 62 years old. Raquel Welch is 73. Bob Newhart, legendary actor and comedian, still has it. 84 years
probably
old.
Probably
best
known for Elf, I would say, right?
I'm sorry, what now?
I'm saying he's probably best known for Elf.
I would take umbrage with that assertion. And drummer Brad Wilk of Rage and Audio Slave is 45.
I myself am a drummer.
Oh.
So, and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music.
My dad grew up
listening to jazz.
That's great, man.
He loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed minded. But that aside, let me see what else we
drummer
could,
for Rage.
Talk about here.
It's not about you, Beerbug. It's not about you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The world famous K-Rock on a Thursday morning at 106.7 KROQ. Don't forget, 1 hour from right now, you win an Xbox 360, plus you get a chance to play Linkin Park's new Xbox game called Recharge. That's at a super secret party in Venice Beach with the band. I don't know that much about the Linkin Park game. We may have to have one of those guys on.
Okay.
Talk about it. Find out what it is. Are you in the band? Do you go see the band? Do you fight crime with the band? I don't understand. Speaking of video games, there's only one authority that we look forward to talking to on the Kevin and Bean Show about new releases, and that is our old friend Adam Sessler, who is the host and editor-in-chief for Rev3 Games in San Francisco. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Adam.
What's going on? How you been, man? What's it like moving from Southern California to Northern California? How has the transition been for you after so many years down here?
Well, I'm not as schvitzy as I've heard you guys are right now.
We are. That's true.
That's one of the key things. There's this coastal breeze that I seem to be getting in my face just about every day. I grew up here, so it hasn't been that much of a transition. Back when I was doing tech TV, that was also in San Francisco. So I pretty much decided that I'm only going to live in California in a large urban center.
But yes, gotcha.
I mean, I'll be back down there someday.
Well, we miss not having you in the studio, but we appreciate you carving out some time because we are, as hard as this is to believe, once the calendar turns to September, it's practically Christmas, and that is true with video games as well, right?
Oh, yes, and definitely this year because we have two consoles that are coming out a week apart in November. We're going to have the PlayStation 4 on November 15th and then the Xbox One on November 22nd, which the child in me is very excited about. The adult professional in me is absolutely terrified of because those are going to be two long, long weeks.
Yeah. We are feeling very sorry for you with how many hours you have to spend playing video games. That does sound terrible.
Your soul breaking on the air.
Let's talk about some of the great games that are coming out. This really is, it's amazing. And it's also amazing how long some of these franchises have been around. For instance, Grand Theft Auto 5, which is out now or just getting ready to come out?
It's getting ready to come out. It'll be out on September 17th.
Okay, that's one that's been around for a long time. What's new in 5?
It's a fairly fresh look at the game. It takes place in Los Santos, which is their traditional stand-in for Southern California. And from what I've already seen of the game when they've come by and shown it to me, it's much closer to looking like Los Angeles than the last time they did this in the game GTA San Andreas. What's really neat about the game is that you don't play one character. You play three different characters, and it's more of a traditional crime story in that three people from disparate walks of life who are all kind of on the other side of the law are brought together for some reason. I actually don't know why. But what's neat is when you're playing the game in certain instances, you can switch between one character and another. So you can have the crazy guy who likes to have explosives high up on a building, and you have a guy who likes guns down on the ground, and when you want to blow up, you know, a bunch of cars that are coming to you, you quickly switch to that character and then move back to another one. And the effect is interesting because it's almost like you're the director of an action sequence of a crime movie, unless that you're actually sort of right there playing just one character who has to kind of go through his entire life.
And one of the things that really got a lot of attention, I guess the news just broke over the weekend, is that they used real-life gang members, including one guy who had literally just gotten out of prison the day before as voice actors in Grand Theft Auto V.
I mean, Rockstar is almost is very unique. These are the guys who make the game in how much detail they like to put in their projects. And they also are the one studio that almost always sets their games in kind of a real setting, something a little more grounded than, say, fantasy or science fiction. And I think that's really demonstrative of just the level of authenticity that they want. You know, I think we all know that cringe feeling when someone tries to write gang dialogue for an actor.
Yes.
It just doesn't really read all that well. So, I mean, yeah, I think on one moment that's like, well, that's a curious way to go. And after you think about it and kind of the other games they've made, that seems very consistent with the way they like to approach their work.
That's a great point. This is Adam Sessler on the phone here on the Kevin Amin Show, host and editor-in-chief of Rev 3 Games, talking about some of the new video releases for the fall, including Dead or Alive 5, another very popular franchise back from JustPushStart.com. Tell me about this.
Dead or Alive, I'm not going to say this is a great franchise. I haven't played this new one, so I'm going to hold off on that. It's a fighting game. It's a fighting game that's probably better known for the female characters that wear very little and certain versions of the game where there's a slider that allows for the jiggle of the mammaries. I don't know if that's in this game.
Are you kidding?
Are you serious about that?
Not kidding at all, yeah.
So depending on how much bounce you want in your boobies, you can adjust that feature on the game.
Yes. That was in, I believe, the second version of the game. This is many, many years ago, and it was one of those, like, yeah, that's going to make us look really good.
One of the things that I read about it is there are over 200 costumes available for this game, by the way, which I guess, that's a lot of dress-up, isn't it?
That's a lot of dress-up. It is a Japanese game, and you see these attributes in a lot of those out there. Yeah, you can only imagine. I don't think the dress-up is really to explore the world of fashion design.
No.
It's a little bit more to, figure out, what kind of exposed flesh is going to give you pleasure.
Understood. So is it porn or is it a video game? I guess that depends on what settings you pick.
It is a video game. No, it's funny. Some of the characters in this game were part of what was probably one of the most bizarre games ever made about a decade ago, called Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. And so a lot of the women's characters in the game who are typically punching people in the face and making their nose bleed decide to take a relaxing vacation out on a tropical island, and you can help put them in bikinis and let them lay around.
All right, let's hit two more while we have you on the phone. Diablo 3. Now, this is for consoles only? What's the deal? Or is this what's going on with this?
This came out last year for the PC. Diablo is probably one of the most heralded game franchises out there. It's made by Blizzard, who are probably best known these days for the World of Warcraft massive multiplayer game. This is more of a traditional RPG, an action RPG, where you kind of go through dungeons and you hit things over the head and they die. It is ridiculously addictive because you're constantly getting more loot, a new weapon, something that makes your weapon, have flame on it. It's this beautiful piece of compulsion that you can play with your friends. It's traditionally on the PC, and despite claims that this wasn't going to come to consoles, it was announced only a few months ago that they have made a version both for the PlayStation 3 and for the Xbox 360. And so that came out, and it just really opens up yet another audience to what is one of the more borderline addictive games I know of out there.
Yeah, and that sounds like one you're definitely recommending, right, Adam?
Yes, I played it on the PC and enjoyed it thoroughly. Because there have been so many games coming out right now, I'll just give the caveat. I have yet to see how it performs on a console, but it's easy for me to imagine it does quite well.
All right, and finally, because how could we talk today when the NFL returns tonight without mentioning Madden NFL 25? Now, this course no longer features the actual John Madden anymore, but there's still a lot to recommend for people who have grown up with this game, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's Madden. I think it's reached that point where if you're into Madden, you buy Madden every year. You want to get those roster updates. You want to see sort of, what the little changes are to the Madden game. Whether or not this is the one that really shows how the next generation of consoles are going to be using this franchise, and we're going to have to wait till next year to sort of see that massive technological upgrade. But this is, the swan song of the franchise for this generation of consoles. Like I said before, if you like football, it's probably worth checking out. If you don't understand football, this will probably not teach you.
Has there been a lot of competition over the years with people who have seen the phenomenal success of the Madden games and tried to up them, or have they just been the big cheese for so long that nobody even bothers going after them?
Well, there used to be quite a bit of competition, and then Electronic Arts, the people who make Madden, chose to cut a deal with the NFL, and they're the only ones who have the license.
Ah, there you go. So that makes them official.
That's what squeezed all the competition out to the wayside. Yeah, there used to be fun games that maybe took a less literal approach towards football, but that all became kind of increasingly pointless when you had to make up names and teams.
Nobody wants to play with a fake team or a fake player. You're absolutely right. All right, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Grand Theft Auto 5 coming out, as Adam told us. Madden NFL 25, Dead or Alive 5, Diablo 3. You can follow this and so much more. You've got the Rev 3 Games YouTube channel. You can follow Adam on Twitter, at Adam Sessler, or at Rev 3 Games. So great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, it's good to hear you guys, too.
show.
We were just discussing Madden 25, the video game, out with our friend Adam Sessler, which is all well and good. It's fun to play a little bit of Madden. How about the real return of the NFL tonight? How about that? How about the season is finally here? It's something that millions of Americans have been looking forward to. And I'm thinking this is the year I'm going to figure out a way to make a ton of money off my gambling habit, Lisa.
That's what I'm
thinking about. David Pemberton joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show. He is the director of specialty games for Caesar's Palace, the one and only Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, David. How are you, man?
Great, Bean. How are you?
Doing fine. I imagine this is, Las Vegas is exciting every single day of the year, but I imagine the return of the NFL just puts an extra spark in everybody's step out there, huh?
I believe so. You can kind of feel the excitement. Last week, you know, with college starting, was kind of everybody like sticking their toes in the pool to see how things are going. But this week, everybody's grabbing the parlay cards and looking at the futures and ready to go.
Does anyone remember a time? I'm not old enough to remember a time when Alabama wasn't ranked number one in America. In Las Vegas, it seems like they're always the odds favorite, right?
They are very popular. I mean, there was a couple of years that they weren't on top, but yeah, it's been a while.
Now, that might be a great place to start, because it seems like, especially for people who maybe don't gamble that much, don't make it out to Las Vegas as much as they'd like, it's easy to bet on the popular teams. I mean, we all know which teams are going to be good. We all know New England's going to be good. We all know San Francisco's going to be good. We all know Seattle's going to be good. But that's not always the best way or the easiest way to make money, is it?
Well, that's where the spread comes into play. Because, you know, Alabama's going to kill them. But mm-hmm. are they going to beat them by 35 or more? You know, that's where it kind of evens everything out. So whenever the really good teams are playing the bad teams, you know, when you see those spreads, they kind of, you know, balance everything out and make you think for a second and go, I don't know, can they cover that?
Can they win by 40? Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly a game we had the other day with Wisconsin. The spread was 44. They won 45 to nothing.
Are there people who work inside Caesar's Palace who are just sweating all day, every game day? Their jobs are kind of on the line, and the potential That's you. Okay. The potential at a place like Caesar's, I mean, you can make or break the day or the weekend based on how a game goes, right?
That has happened.
I'm sure.
You know, it's easy for me. I can just walk in the place at the end of the day and see if we've made money or lost money by the number of favorites that have won. Because for some reason, the public always bets the favorites. Like I said, whenever you put that huge number, 44 or whatever number, everybody goes, they can cover that. You know, but honestly, it's pretty balanced. And when a lot of dogs win, that's when the book wins. So my advice to people are, don't always go with the favorite. You know, go ahead and throw in a few of those dogs because they're going to do we call it a backdoor cover. When a team's winning and all of a sudden they ease up and they're over sitting there, you know, cheering on the sidelines, you know, high-fiving each other. And then the other team scores a couple times at the end of the game, but they don't care because they're not worried about the spread.
Right, so exactly. Yeah, the NFL makes sure that they never even think or talk about the spread. Right.
So they're over there celebrating and dousing water on each other, but, you know, the other team's still trying to score because they don't want to be embarrassed, and then that's when, you know, that 7 points comes into play and went, oh, okay.
And somewhere in a little room in Las Vegas, David Pemberton is peeing his pants. All right, now let me ask you something.
You should see me. I cheer louder in the back than they do out front.
Let me ask you something specific about today and this weekend, because it's very difficult these days, the way preseason football is played, where you don't see very much of your starters. Hmm. Perfect example is this Monday night game with the Eagles and the Redskins. We don't really know what to expect of RG3. We saw him a little bit in the preseason, but they've been basically keeping him off the field. Like, how do you even bet a week one game where you haven't seen the starters much? What's your advice there?
That's the hard part, especially with preseason, because people do bet a lot on preseason, and I mean, you're betting on teams or guys that probably aren't even going to make the team.
I don't understand the people who bet on preseason, but I do know that preseason
action.
Right, they just have to do something. But I do know that preseason just doesn't seem to give you as much as it used to in terms of, like, my Seahawks. I live in Seattle, David, and I love the Seahawks, and they rolled through this preseason. I mean, they were beating teams by 20, 30 points every week. But I, in my mind, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
That's what they always say. The games don't mean anything, and they're just evaluating the players. But, I mean, you do, as you see them, you know, they take one snap or two snaps, one series, whatever, and then as they go into the next game, they play a little more, you know, because they got to get ready. They get, I mean, it's a fast game. So if you're sitting on the sidelines and just watching everything, you're not used to that speed. And then next thing you know, you're like, whoops, you know, and you lose the first game.
Right.
But it is tough that, you know, that first game, you've almost got to go with kind of what they did last year. And that's where you look at, you know, who did they lose? Who did they replace? How is it going to work out? You know, like tonight with the Broncos and the Ravens, you know, you're missing out Ray Lewis. You know, how much of an effect is that going to have on that defense? You know, they're not going to have that enthusiasm and, you know, that drive from him. So some other people have to step up.
A lot of people, David, have been suggesting that the Ravens are a little bit undervalued, that the team is almost as good as last year. Obviously, you mentioned Ray. They had a couple of other changes. Mm-hmm. But people are surprised that the odds are not better for a team like Baltimore. Would you agree with that? Do you think they're better than maybe the odds are giving them credit for?
No, they're obviously a very good team. I mean, but it's all about the Broncos, I think, this year. That's most of the talk. And if you watch all the you know, all the stuff on ESPN and everything, I mean, it's all about Peyton. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have the Broncos favored tonight, you know, by a little more than a touchdown, 7.5 points. And it is in Mile High, so it is going to be a little tougher, you know, when you got to travel and then you got to play at that altitude. But, yeah, we even with the futures, we have the Broncos. They're kind of they're the favorite at 9-2, but your Seahawks are pretty close behind at 6-1, and then I think the other favorite up there is the Niners. So
yeah, right. David Pemberton on the line here, director of special games at Caesars Palace. In our final minute here, I have to ask: every year we hear a story, sometimes from one of our listeners, of somebody who just bets with their heart. They love their team. Maybe they're a Cardinals fan or a Raiders fan, and they say, "I don't care. I can afford to lose it. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm putting $100 down at Caesars Palace for my team to win the Super Bowl." Every once in a while, that works out for somebody, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, the funny part is, it's more in baseball, to where we get a lot of folks from the Midwest, and every year we're going to be in trouble if the Cubs ever win the World Series. Because every year people come in and buy those tickets, they take them home, they show everybody. I mean, we pretty much everywhere else it's a plus, but it's always a huge minus on the Cubs. But nobody's ever cashed one of those tickets yet.
That is hilarious. Yeah, nobody even remembers the Cubs ever win it. All right, before we let you go, just for legal reasons, what's the rule? I can't call Caesars Palace on the phone and place a bet. I've got to be in the state of Nevada standing in your casino to bet, right?
You have to. I mean, some places have apps and stuff where you have to be in the state of Nevada, but you can use a mobile device to make a bet, but you have to be within the state.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But, yeah, if you ever want to call up and put something down, I'll take care of you.
So. All right. We always stop by Caesars Palace whenever we're in Las Vegas. I mean, you are you're the jewel on the strip there, man, and I'm glad you had a chance to jump on with us today to talk football.
Well, let me tell you, or you can have some fun with Kevin, is we have a prop for teams to go undefeated, and your Seahawks are 15-1. As Cardinals are 500-1.
Oh, wow.
And on the reverse, we also have teams to go winless, and his Cardinals are 25-1, and the Seahawks are 500-1. So I think you got him there.
Yeah, you don't see either of those scenarios play out very often in the real world, that's for sure. But that's part of what makes it fun. All right, David, have yourself a great day and a great season. Thanks for coming
Kevin
DeBean Show.
Thank you.
New politics on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. MMA legend Boss Rutan joins us in the 9 o'clock hour, and, of course, the Xbox 360 that you can win. Remember yesterday, Lisa, we were talking about how it was Dr. Drew's birthday. He's a dreamy 55, and he's never looked better. And I was wondering, how does a guy like Dr. Drew work so much? How does he, you know, take some time off and celebrate his birthday? So I tuned into his HLN show last night, and he spent an hour talking about Ariel Castro's suicide and this teenager in Colorado who stabbed her mom in the face and neck 79 times.
So that's fun.
That's the good time Dr. Drew had on his birthday yesterday. Hi, Doc. How are you, buddy?
I dedicated my show to Bean.
That was, don't you just like need to take a shower after that HLN show some weeks where it's just, it's so gruesome.
It is intense, but the HLN audience loves that stuff. So we sort of try to give them what they want to hear, and then we try to make sense of it, which is even more difficult.
Yeah, well, you did a nice job with it last night. Some tough topics. Let's talk about, I actually had a personal request to ask you a question of this week on our weekly visit, Dr. Drew, from a friend of mine who had a friend who lost a 20-year-old daughter recently overdosing on Molly.
Oh, God.
I mean, parents' worst nightmare is to lose a kid. And unfortunately, we are seeing more and more stories like this in the news. One that was pretty high profile was at Electronic Music Festival in New York City over the weekend. They ended up canceling the last day of the event. Three people died, I think. Four others in critical condition. I think it's time for us to have a real conversation about Molly because it seems to be back with a vengeance.
Yeah, it sure is. And again, these are often people who don't have addiction. These are people who are so-called abusing drugs, right? I mean, let's make that distinction. You know, addiction is a progressive disorder with consequences from regular, progressive, ongoing use of a substance. Abuse is just using something periodically to get high that has no therapeutic value. And the Molly, you know, the club drugs, as we used to call them, or MDMA, as it is, which is the same thing as ecstasy, everybody.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. It's
just, oh, okay.
It's just another marketing ploy to get people to, you know, it's a rebranding, quite literally, of MDMA. It is a little more powerful. It's a little more of it. And what happened in most of these deaths were people were taking a large amount. And it's been well known for a long time this stuff can't kill you. It kills you primarily, the two typical mechanisms are something called malignant hyperthermia, where your body temperature gets so hot that you die.
Mm.
And sometimes along with that, you can get these severe electrolyte problems and something called hyponatremia, which is a very, very low sodium that can cause you to seize and then die. And there can be cardiac problems and heart rhythm problems. But you know what's interesting, Bean, is that I've seen a lot of deaths blamed on MDMA, but when I've looked at them very carefully, oftentimes you see very heavy alcohol along with it. And in a significant percentage of cases, what actually happens is people aspirate from the alcohol, and then the combination is just too much. When they aspirate, they get pneumonia, they get septic, and they die. And of course, when you're at a club and people are just sort of out of it, they go, oh, let them sleep it off, and that's the worst thing you can possibly do.
Right, right. So how does something like this happen? I mean, we heard a lot about ecstasy. It was everybody's club drug of choice back in the 80s, and then I feel like it kind of went into hibernation for a while, but obviously it never completely went away. How does it come back and become popular with, you know, by all accounts from these news reports, a whole new generation of young people?
You know, this is going to sound strange to you, but people that distribute drugs could give master classes at Harvard Business School. They literally come up with new pricing, new distribution systems, new brands, and people buy it. They literally fall for it. It's like, oh, that ecstasy stuff, that was impure. The reason that one hurt people, there was cut with impurities. It was the impurities that harmed people, not the ecstasy. Ecstasy, good. We're going to give you pure MDMA, and we're going to call it Molly for the molecule MDMA. And, of course, listen, the other thing, this has driven me crazy for years, people arguing that MDMA is not harmful. Give me a break. But the other thing is that you see significant severe mood disturbances and agoraphobia and panic for sometimes lifelong and sometimes progressive, too. You know our buddy Psycho Mike, right?
Of course, yeah.
He had a little ecstasy habit. Amongst his menu of services, ecstasy was a big player. And he has significant mood stuff he still has to deal with. He has a seizure disorder he has to deal with. And and he, in my opinion, given how much he did, has relatively mild consequences.
Right, right. Every once in a while, Dr. Drew, I'll come to you with what you consider a crazy harebrained scheme. I've decided, you know, I'm going to try meth or something like that. And you always warn me that there are some drugs that you do one time and it may kill you or alter your brain forever. Is ecstasy one of those?
Probably not. Probably not, because there are a lot of people doing ecstasy a few times, and they seem fine. And for me to say that that's the one, it's inaccurate. And, you know, I try, mm-hmm. always try to be terribly, exquisitely accurate so we can actually have an honest conversation about these things. LSD concerns me that way, though, of course, there are people that are also, you know, resilient and have no problem with that. But acid worries me more that way than ecstasy. Ecstasy, if you take a large dose, like a, you know, and again, in Molly, there's a lot of high concentration in there. Or if you take it multiple times, like 10 or 20 times, right. That's when I get worried you're going to start to see irreversible changes.
So when you go to like a Dead Mouse concert or something, how do you enjoy it the most? What are you doing, Dr. Drew, to really make the experience pop for you?
Molly.
You can listen to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. Watch Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday at 6. And, of course, the fine family of DrDrew.com and podcast1.com podcast. Too much for me to say with our good friend Dr. Drew. Happy belated birthday. We'll do it again soon, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
So Beer Mug said he's going to kick Boss Rutan's ass?
Yeah.
Is that what I just heard?
Man. That was, I think, Dave the King of Mexico said that.
Weird.
I thought I heard Mug say that, because that's
I thought it was out of line, and I just, geez, I don't know what's going to happen.
You don't just don't challenge a guy like that. I mean, he's a legend, a former champion.
Mug says, oh, I've been training, look at me, I'm all buff, right. I could take him.
Not been training, and I'm not buff.
That's not what you were saying off the air. You talk pretty tough when the mics aren't on.
Very different story, isn't it? Well, we'll let Boz beat it out of you when he comes in here in about 10 minutes or so on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Here's Ralph.
Yes, congratulations to YouTube bassist Adam Clayton. He's now a married man. RollingStone.com says he tied the knot yesterday morning at a registry office in Dublin. The Edge was there with his wife as witnesses, but Bono and Larry Mullen Jr. couldn't be bothered because they hate him.
Is that just your guess? Or?
I have no idea. I think it was
Bono's probably in Africa or something, I would imagine.
He's probably saving somebody. It was a civil ceremony, but they're going to have a big 3-day reception in France this weekend, and 150 people have been invited, so they're expecting the whole band to be together for that happy event. By the way, just in case you're curious, Adam's new wife is a Brazilian model.
Well, sure she is.
Named Mariana, so...
sure she is. She's one of those ugly models, though, right?
Yeah, she's one of those... One of those hideous Brazilian models that they use just for the hands, you know, just for the hand modeling. You'll be happy to know, Bean, because I know you're a big Hello Kitty fan.
Yeah, what's going on?
If you had to be an FBI profiler and you needed the pedophile profile, you would just go to Bean's house and just write down everything you saw. Right?
Everything he watches, everything he listens to,
right. All the concerts he goes to.
His toaster.
His interests, yes.
Did you bring condoms with you?
Just put that in a manila folder and just hand it to the director of the FBI and say, just catch this guy and we'll have all the pedophiles off the streets.
Is that a yes?
Well, Bean, I don't like children enough to be a pedophile, but what's going on with Hello Kitty?
Bean, you'll be happy to know that in Japan, they've started selling Hello Kitty beer.
Oh.
Yeah, the...
seems appropriate.
The beer will be sold exclusively there. It comes in 6 tropical flavors, including passion fruit and banana.
The kids will love it.
The kids will love it, Lisa. It's almost like drinking fruit juice, said one source.
That's great.
And it's only 2.3% alcohol by volume. So they're easy to consume. They're so sweet. You just down them like juice. And pedophiles everywhere are happy because now the kids will get loaded in the back of the van much easier.
So this is Jesus juice is what it is, basically.
That's basically what it is. What a horrible idea on every level.
Why isn't anyone cracking down?
Well, it's because it's Japan.
Don't they crack down?
They do whatever they want. They don't crack down.
Yeah, anything goes Japan.
Anything goes. It's just they just leak their radiation everywhere and just drink Hello Kitty beer. What are they?
Well, if you're going to have sex, it might as well be with me.
That's what Bean always says.
I think that
from the playground
is one of those brands like Kiss that they just have on everything. I just think anything that is made, they want to turn. I saw a Hello Kitty jet the other day. A jet that was all painted up with Hello Kitty. Like, there's no reason for that, but they just want a Hello Kitty everything.
What are you going to do if you have to get your victims out of the country, Bean? Then you're going to have to put them on your Hello Kitty jet and give them the Hello Kitty beer, and then
I think I would like to shower with you.
Then it's playtime with Farmer Bean.
I don't like the implications.
Everyone find the candy in my overalls. That's time for that game that Bean plays with the kids.
Something about having Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber on my iPod is just rubbing the wrong way. Is that what's happening here?
Boy, you're creepy.
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more, right?
Okay, stop that.
It's a year away, but we have the title for the new Transformers film, Transformers 4. It's currently in the works, but Paramount put out a poster yesterday with the brand new title, Transformers, Age of Extinction. Let's hope it's true when it comes to this franchise.
I was expecting the word steaming and pile to be in the title, but no.
Age of Extinction. Film stars Mark Wahlberg, Stanley Tucci, Kelsey Grammer, and others who will be paying for their homes.
Right.
Who prefer to be unnamed in this article.
Man, that can't be good, right? no way that
Look, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I know that there are lots of fans of the Transformers movies. We know a guy who's going to be lined up for the 10:30 a.m. show whatever day it opens,
I'm
going
to get part of the bus. Put everybody on a part of us. Girls, Transformers, stink of an age again.
I want a good movie.
And drink Hello Kitty Bear.
Ralph, weren't you one of the people who was excited at the beginning of the franchise that they were making the Transformers movie?
Right. I thought the first one was a very entertaining popcorn movie. Mm-hmm. And then just the drop-off in quality to two and then three was atrocious. So maybe this reboot with Mark Wahlberg as the new lead, maybe this will bring it back to some sort of level of entertainment. But
right.
By the way, I was just speaking of movies real quickly. I was just tweeting this because I'm obsessed. I don't give a rat's ass about racing, auto racing in any way. Don't mm-hmm. care about F1 racing. Never have, never will. However, how desperate are you to see Rush, this new Ron Howard movie?
It looks good. Great.
It doesn't look like the greatest thing ever.
It does.
I watch the trailer and I say, I need to see this now. Where is it? And it's still weeks away. But it looks incredible to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Boy.
A lot of drama, excitement. Yeah.
Man. A lot of that. I don't even care about that part. Today's celebrity birthdays. The bitch Rose McGowan is 40 years old today. Dweezil Zappa celebrates his 44th birthday. Brad Wilk of Rage and Audio Slave fame, drummer for those bands, he's 45. Michael Keaton, 62 years old today. Raquel Welch celebrates her 73rd birthday. I'd like to give her a birthday candle. You know what I'm saying?
Huh? No. Huh?
You know what I'm saying?
No, one doesn't seem like enough. She's 73. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, one would be enough. One would be enough. That's all I'm saying. Because this candle would be enough. And Bob Newhart, one of my favorite actors and comedians. He's 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Beer Mug. Now he's in here. Say it to his face.
Go ahead, Lisa. Tell him what you told me earlier, Lisa.
I think Muggs was saying he's been training and waiting for this moment, and he's just going to slaughter
gonna take
you.
Down the old man. Yeah. That's what he said. He's going to take down the old man were his words.
Yeah. Never said that, boss. But good to see you.
But I heard you said that, actually.
Right.
Because I heard you saying over the radio.
Right down the hall.
They said they told me, watch out, because he might attack you from the back. I said, oh, yeah, I'm watching out now.
Well, boss has his own TV show all about how to fight back if you get attacked from behind, so I don't think we have to worry about Boss. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Boss Rutten. He is, of course, former UFC champion, MMA legend, inventor, commentator. He does it all, and it's always a pleasure. How you been? How you feeling, by the
way? Know, I feel great. Last time I was talking to you guys, I had the neck surgery. I was all messed up. You know, I couldn't come to the studio. And I said, you know, I don't want to miss it, but I was in so much pain. And now everything starts clearing up. I started actually rehabbing my arm. As you can see, it's a really tiny arm. With 5 pounds, I make bicep curls. But I started 3 weeks ago with only 6 repetitions, and now I can do like 18. So it starts getting stronger, but it's, you know, I used to do 9 one-arm pull-ups, and now I can't get the milk out of the fridge.
When you have a career as long as yours and as as physically active as you have been your whole life, Boz, is that something that you worry about, how you're going to feel when you're 70, when you're 80? I mean,
yeah,
it's not going to get any better.
No, it's not going to get any better. And suddenly all the injuries start piling up. You know, when I made a comeback fight in 2006, I didn't fight for 7 years. And the first 6 weeks, I mean, I felt great. Started beating all the big guys there. They go, man, dude, you got a new career. But then the old injuries start coming back.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And then at the fight, you know, I won, but I mean, everything. My knees were blowing up. I got tendonitis in both arms. I pulled a groin muscle. A rib was out. I said, okay, we got to stop. This is a sign from God.
Exactly.
Stop this.
Well, I love that you have been able to stay close to the sport that you love so much with the, you know, with the training and the gyms and the inventions that we'll talk about in a second. And of course, the, you know, the Inside MMA on the Axis channel. There's always so much to talk about. I mean, this is what's unbelievable to me. And we talk to Dana about this all the time, is the depth of talent in the UFC now. It's just crazy how every year there are new legitimate stars. It's not like it's weak and they're lucky to find people to put on a card. Every card, it seems like there are so many people because I guess this is the first generation of people who have grown up with UFC. So everybody wants to do it now, right?
Yeah, that's one of those things. You can fight in different shows, but every fighter, wherever they fight, and I always think it's so bad to do, you know, they win the main event from another show and they go like, UFC, I hope Dana, you saw this. I go, dude, you're just fighting for this organization. But eventually, they want to fight in the UFC because that everybody knows that's where the real fighters are. You know, the toughest fighters on the planet. So you're never a real champion until you are a UFC champion.
Right. And last night, of course, was the return of the Ultimate Fighter, which I know you saw. I saw only the first half hour of it because it was past my bedtime. But I love Ronda so much, I had to tune in and see what she did with her team. Tell me about the types of people. What were your impressions of the motivations of the types of people who are on the Ultimate Fighter as contestants? Are they? Do they have realistic expectations of the sport they're trying to get into?
Well, some of them do and some of them don't, you know. Most of the time, the talks where they say, oh, I'm going to whoop that ass, you know. You know already when they say
break
that.
Break some necks, cash some checks, as they say.
Yeah. No, you're gonna lose. That's trying to convince yourself you're a good fighter. You know, it's the quiet ones most of the time that are the real good ones. And there were some really good ones yesterday. I was very impressed. The first fight off was Jessamyn Duke.
Oh,
I was impressed with her.
Let's talk about Jessamyn Duke, by the way. Right? I'm very impressed with her. Oh, wait, she's a fighter also?
See? And that's what I mean. I mean, she was ripped. She was limber, aggressive. She was good. She's a technical, a very good fighter. So I think we're going to hear a lot from her.
Who else were you impressed with from last night?
David Grant from the UK. I think that's one of the guys who might end up in the finals. He was very good. Jessica, I don't know how to pronounce that. Rukoczny. I hope.
Careful.
That's what I'm saying, because maybe that's the reason she started fighting. You know, you never know. Roxanne Modafferi, of course, she was good. Pennington, Shayna Baszler. Juliana Pena, I think she was very tough as well. And for the
guys, interesting that you're naming a lot of women, and I've heard from a bunch of people that they were really more impressed with the women fights last night than the men fights. That was a surprise to me, I think.
Yeah, all the women fights were action packed, and a few men fights were, you know, wrestling, holding down, and don't do anything to great annoyance from Dana. It was funny.
The president was very outspoken. Dana White was very outspoken for a long time about how he'd never allow women into the UFC. When he was taking that stand, and obviously he has since changed his mind, and it's opened up a whole new opportunity for him, for lots of great fighters to be on the show. But did you agree with him, or were you one of the people who thought he was behind the times on making that proclamation?
You know, I always saw women fighting, you know, in Invicta, Shannon Knapp, that's the biggest female organization out there. And I did commentating for them as well. And they, all the fights, one night, you know, there's 14 fights and sometimes there's 12 either submissions or knockouts, you know, only two decisions. And the other time, you got like 12 decisions, but every single fight is an action-packed fight. Nobody gets bored because these girls really put it on the line. So I knew that we had a lot of talent in the girls' department.
Well, I mean, it is crazy how big a star Ronda is, too, and also Miesha Tate, too. I mean, the looks on each other's face when they realized that they were going to be, you know, opposing captains was priceless last night.
I was a little thrown off with Ronda's comment about, she said that she was going to be thrown off the show and Tate was going to coach for her. Did she say that?
I think they kept her in the dark about what was going to happen. I think it was a surprise to her when Tate walked through the door. She really didn't know why she was there, and I think she was just confused. And this is like her worst enemy showing up, basically to, you know, to live with her for the next 12 weeks or something. She's not looking forward to it at all. Now, you don't have anything to do with that fight, with that show, right? Except for the fact that you follow it and cover it on your Access TV program, right?
Yeah, that's right. We cover MMA. Yeah, around the world. We cover everybody.
Well, we got a lot more stuff we want to talk about, including your invention, by the way, which I know that you grew up with asthma, right? That was something that afflicted you, and you've done something about it to help other people with asthma?
Yes, I did. The invention, I came up with it when I was 14 years old. I used to do track and field, and I was actually pretty good at track and field. I was going to be the Dutch Bruce Jenner. That was my thing, decathlon. You know, but I would realize if I had an asthma attack, it would be a week in bed, doing everything in bed, not able to eat because I couldn't breathe. Then I would recoup for 3 days, and then I would resume my track and field. I would break my running times every time. And I go, why do I break my running times? And then one day I was at the doctor's office, and I saw a drawing of a pair of lungs. And there I saw that the lungs are not infected, but it's the airways to the lungs are infected. And I go, oh, of course. I mean, my lungs have been working, pulling air in for a week, 24/7. Now with the infection gone, it's much easier for them to do it, and I'm much stronger. So why don't I come up with something that controls the air intake? And that's how it started. I started putting coins in my mouth with holes in them, you know, from friends or something. We always went on a holiday and they had those crazy coins, breathing through that hole, but I realized that's going to be very dangerous.
You're going to swallow coins, right? Exactly. So I want to hear, we got to take a break right now, Buster.
Okay.
I want to hear more about this invention and find out like how that's going. Is this something that, I mean, I want to know how that's being accepted, because obviously millions of people have asthma. If you've really come up with something that helps, I mean, that's pretty big news. That's what you're going to be remembered for if this thing takes off, I would imagine.
You know, until now, every single person with asthma does not use their inhaler anymore. So I cannot medically claim it, but I'm doing testing right now. And they just did a big test with 15 people at the university in Texas. And everybody was increased lung volume. They increased the ventilation, everything.
Well, we'll talk more about that and, of course, everything else going on in the world of MMA with our guest, who is Boss Rutten. He is the host of Inside MMA on Axis TV. More in a moment after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Catching up with our pal Boss Rutten here on The Kevin and Bean Show, MMA legend. How many jobs do you currently have, Boss?
Whoa.
I was just listening to you talk about having to fly out to Atlanta. What are you doing out there?
The World Series of Fighting. So that means on Friday we shoot live Inside MMA, and then Kenny and I both going to do the show, take a red eye, and fly over to Atlanta and then do the World Series of Fighting.
All right. What else are you doing?
Well, I have a gym. And then, of course, I'm a father of two beautiful daughters. I have a third daughter, an older one, but she lives in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
The acting, you know, I just recently did another movie after Here Comes the Boom. There was a movie that's going to called Mercy Rule, in where I'm a baseball coach for a kids' team.
Why bother doing another movie when you've already done Here Comes the Boom? Why not go out on top, Boss?
Yeah, that's true, right? You know, that's true. I expected actually to, you know, I got an agency right away out of it. William Morris called my management to say, hey, we would like to represent him. So I was all excited. But, you know, it's a hard business to get movies.
Yeah.
I think I need to do some darker acting so people can see I'm not only that guy, but I can also be, you know, a little dark.
Right. Well, the problem with a guy like you, and I don't doubt that you have additional rage to what we've seen before, but the problem with a guy like you is you always seem to be happy. You always seem to be smiling. You're such a positive, optimistic person. Even when you're kicking ass, you seem to be just enjoying yourself.
I do. I really enjoy it, you know, and especially when somebody's really bad to me, then I really enjoy it. They asked me last time, do you never regret what you did? I said, no, never regret. One time I regret it because I saw but that was because I didn't know. I saw the day before, that was early in my fighting career, I saw a guy on the big screen doing an inverted heel hook, and I go from a half guard, and I go, that's a cool move. And then the next day when I was fighting, I was in that position, I go, let's try it, you know. But I never did it, so I didn't know how much pressure I put on, and I broke his shin in half with the thing.
Oh,
and that I felt bad about. I went to the hospital. He was 8 months in the hospital, got an infection on top of it.
Oh, no.
And another, 13 months in total out. Yeah, that got me teary-eyed.
It does get real. You know, it seems like, have there been rule changes throughout the years that have dramatically decreased the number of serious injuries in the UFC? Because you rarely see somebody down for that long anymore.
Yeah. No. I think the headbutts, but hot butts, you know, nobody really, I guess, no smashed, but that's about it. They took that out. I would love to see elbows to the face, maybe take it out even, and then enter knees to the head while on the ground. I think that would be a good thing. Although, lately, a lot of guys have been knocking people out with elbows. Before, from 1,000 fights, you can count on one hand how many guys actually went knocked out. For the rest, everybody's with a cut. And if you want to bring it as close to street fighting as possible, well, on the street, if you have a cut, you're not going to stop. You know, so it's
right,
kind of
right.
A cheap way of winning, I always say. It's a way of winning. You can make your living out of it if you do it the right way.
Since the last time we had you in, you know, we have quite a few fighters walk through the doors here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We had Nick Newell in here, who is the one-armed fighter who you have a long history with. You go way back with him, right?
You know, in 2005, I was working for the International Fight League, and he came out of the audience, and I saw, of course, right away with the arm, and he goes, hey, and he introduced himself, and keep my name in your mind, he said, because I'm going to be a good fighter. Dude, if you do that, it's awesome, you know? And then slowly but surely, he started competing. Last time, because he's working out with the O2 trainer also, so I called him and I said, listen, do you have my workout already? He said, you sent it 4 or 5 years ago, man. All the way in the beginning when you saw me for the first time. I said, good.
it doesn't make any sense on paper that a one-armed fighter could have any success in the UFC with as many different tools as your opponent is going to have to use against you. How does he keep winning? winning?
I have no clue. You know, it's like you develop a different skill of fighting. You know how to stop people from hitting there. I guess, you know, it moves to this away from the power all the time. From the weak arm, that way you want to move the opposite way. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's like Daredevil. You know, he's got no vision, and he comes up. And that's actually true. Did you ever see Stan Lee Superhumans? This guy riding on a bike, and he goes... And then he knows when it's a car, he knows when it's a bike. They even put him in front of like phone booths 20 miles away from his home. And he goes, and he said, oh, there are 3 phone booths. That's unbelievable.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, before we're running out of time here, Inside MMA airs Friday nights at 6 on Axis TV. You definitely want to be checking that out. Where's the gym if people want to come down for you?
Westlake Village, beautiful Thousand Oaks there.
And you got a lot of people, including our associate producer, Christine, who has suffered with asthma her whole life. You got a lot of people excited about this O2 trainer. I know we talked a little bit about how you came up with it. How can people get it? It's not available in stores, is it?
No, not yet. It's O2trainer.com. And on O2trainerblog.com, you see all the reviews. I mean, I have the people from Special Air Forces Services. I even have the sax player from the Eagles saying that he can make longer notes, stronger notes now. And so it's also good for people who sing, who use, horn instruments. Everybody who uses their lungs for profession, which, you know, is a lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah. Is it just a device that you hold in your hand that you hold up to your mouth and breathe into?
It's a so simple device. I couldn't believe I got the patent. It only controls the air intake. Now, other lung training devices, they say, oh, you got to control air in and out. But I never believed in that because I think if you control air out and you're getting tired, you cannot really empty your lungs, so then your inspiratory system works just shallow, like it's like you're shallow breathing. But if you can completely empty your lungs every time, you really use that respiratory system all the way from the beginning, and you will feel it with the O2 trainer. You will feel your abs and your core after a workout.
That's fascinating. Now, what do doctors say? I mean, I know there's a long road to getting something kind of like FDA approved and whatnot, but what kind of reaction are you getting from professionals in the field?
You know, it's very hard. I wrote doctors. I sent them an O2 trainer. Doctors that I used to have a bad skin disease as well in my face, over my hands when I was young, and that goes together with asthma. So I know there's centers out there that treat kids like that, and I wrote them. I wrote, brought an O2 trainer, and nobody reacted. And I realized, and this is so sad when I say it, because I don't know if it's true, but it almost looks to me like they don't want to use it because now there's no more prescriptions writing because you're going to be stopping the medicine.
Wow. Well, we've heard a lot of stories. I mean, through medical history, there have been a lot of devices that have taken a long time to catch on. But it sounds like it's working for you and it's working for people you know. So I wish you good luck with it. I hope it keeps going, dude.
I appreciate it. This year, every month we have a medical company buying 100. And that's a medical company. So they all go to people with asthma. So that's really cool to hear.
O2trainer.com is where it is. And you can follow Boz on Twitter at BozRutinMMA. Thanks so much for coming in, man. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Who are they cheering? Oh, Katy Perry. Guys. Hey, Katy Perry. Walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry. Walk the moon is standing right here. Walk the moon. Katy Perry. Walk the moon is standing right here.
Yeah, she would have been excited to meet Walk the Moon,
oh,
Beer
God.
Mug.
You know what a huge Walk the Moon fan she is.
She is.
What's happening?
Stop defending yourself like you're right ever.
I always am right, Ralph, whatever your name is.
It's 9:40 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday morning, Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It is Thursday. Do you know what that means? Tomorrow is.
Hold on. Wait, today's what?
Thursday.
Tomorrow's Friday.
It's Friday.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv, Kevin Smith and I once again take the stage with our patented brand of angry, drunk, and cordial stoner comedy. It's a rare combo. You don't really see that in comedy teams much anymore. The bitter, angry, drunk, and the jovial stoner. It seems to work for us. Mm-hmm. It's Hollywood Babylon at the Improv, 10 p.m. tomorrow night. We'd love to have you come out and join us.
Saturday!
Once again, it's a Friday, 10 p.m. Improv.com is the place to go to get your tickets.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 7 a.m. till noon.
No, those are wrong. Those are all wrong days and times.
I'm sorry. I was confused by the schedule.
You're confusing people now. It's what you're doing.
So it's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Okay. Congratulations to Betty White. She is now in the Guinness Book of World Records.
for longest train ever pulled by a geriatric.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's untrue. That's untrue.
Took on 140 Marines.
I don't believe Betty is actually sexually active anymore.
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
she
man.
Is. I don't think so. Doesn't seem like it.
Why? What does that even
like
mean?
It,
what does
tell.
That even mean? She doesn't seem like it. Because she's not boning anyone in front of you?
I'm not getting anywhere with her. I know that.
Well, look at
not,
you.
Not from lack of trying.
Not even an old woman would take you. You're scary and creepy on every level.
I just figured for a cougar, I'd be a pretty good catch.
She actually is in the Guinness Book of World Records for female entertainer with the longest television career. I knew she was around for a long time, but I had no idea she was in the business for 74 years.
Wow.
So I know she's 91. I know she's an old broad, but still, to be in entertainment and be successful in it for 74 years is quite
Well, she was doing a television show in 1939. That's what you got to think about. I know.
It's crazy.
Before World War II, she was in TV. Think about that for a second.
She was on television talking about The Wizard of Oz when it first came out. Hey, did you catch that new movie with those ruby slippers? That's something, isn't it? What she was doing.
You know what else? And I'm sad that Kevin's not here, of course. But
well, I am too, because we'd have stopped talking about Betty White by now.
Right. If he were, though, he would reject what I'm about to say because she's old, so she can't be talented.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever see her on TV as a guest on a talk show or on her Hot in Cleveland or anything else she does, she still is great. She still is so funny. She still has tremendous timing. I mean, she really is a professional.
Well, after 74 years of doing something, she better be goddamn good at it.
Right, but what I'm saying is a lot of people, they lose a few steps when they get to be 90. She, by all accounts, hasn't. I'm just impressed by that, that's all.
However you think, she's not boning, so what do you know?
Right.
It's been a long time since Eddie Murphy gave us some sweet, sweet music. Oh, I remember shaking my groove thing to Party All the Time. And
Shake Your Groove Thing was a different song. It was Peaches and Herb.
Boogie in the Butt. I remember putting a TV in my butt.
Sure. Classic.
Putting things in my butt to Boogie in the Butt. Turned out to be a bad choice on my part. But The Hollywood Reporter announced he has a new album on the way called Nine. And the first single is already online for you to take a listen to. It's interesting because it is a reggae song. I don't know if the whole album's going to be reggae or not, but it's called Red Light, and it features Snoop Lion, artist formerly known as Snoop Dogg. And the single will premiere on September the 9th, but there's a little taste online if you want to check it out for yourself, or you can just sit back and listen now because I brought you some. Red light, stop right. The pieces like they began, cause this is the way that we flow. Higher and higher and higher we go. Yeah. Through dedication, some preservation. I said, I see I. That's Eddie Murphy there singing that lead part.
I would Pretty not good. Have, if you had played that for me and did not tell me who it was, I don't know if I ever would have gotten to Eddie Murphy as a guest.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound anything like him.
We'll be hearing more from his album in the next couple of months.
Smoke weed!
How far would you go to see your favorite TV stars? Well, there was a woman in Pasadena, California, 40-something, learned that just a few blocks away, near her home there in Pasadena, they were filming an episode of The Mentalist.
Okay.
Turns out she is mental over Simon Baker, the star of that show. So she hops in her blue BMW, races over to the set to take a peek. She is so busy craning her neck, looking for a sight of Simon Baker, watching them film, that she didn't spot the barricades, crashed right through them and into the show's lighting equipment truck.
Oh.
Best part, she bought the BMW 3 days before crashing the set, literally.
Oh, how sad.
The upside for this young lady, however, is that she did get a photo with Simon Baker just before she passed away from internal injuries. So. It all ends with a happy note.
And out smiling, though.
That's right, yes. These women love that Simon Baker, by the way.
They sure do.
Boy, they like that Mentalist. Maybe we should do a phoner of the craziest thing you've ever done to meet a celebrity.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I bet people have gone to great lengths in order to catch a glimpse of or actually have contact with their favorite celebrity.
Yeah. You mean camping out at a hotel or whatever time and
climbing
effort you put into
it. Climbing a wall or a fence or something, you know? I'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. I bet people have done crazy stuff. And Lisa, this one's just for you.
Thank you.
Of course, it's Broadway talk.
Of course.
Another revival of Cabaret is on the way. Do we need one?
No.
No, not really.
Mm-mm.
But Michelle Williams will be starring as Sally Bowles, the lead in Cabaret. It was supposed to be Emma Stone, but she backed out. Oh, I would have loved that.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Previews start March 21st of next year, and then opening night is April 24th. Sam Mendes will be directing.
Wow.
And Rob Marshall of Chicago fame, of course he directed that film, is doing the choreography for this project.
Wow. Could be great.
Some creative team right there. Yeah.
F me.
That'll be Lisa by the stage door after the show.
So true.
Please enjoy. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. The bitch Rose Graham. Nope. The bitch Rose McGowan.
This was a lovely and talented woman and actress.
Nope. No one likes her. Dweezil Zapp is 44 years old today. Drummer Brad Wilk of Rage Against the Machine and of Audioslave, he is 45 years old.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
What's up, beer monkey?
Okay. I love beats.
Okay.
I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys need a drummer.
I think we're fine. Thank you, Mugs.
We're good. Take Brad Wilk over you, I think. Actor Michael Keaton is 62 years old today. So glad to see him working again. Seemed like for a long period of time, he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
Then I saw him in that Larry David thing on HBO, Clear History. He was brilliantly funny on that. He's going to be in the new RoboCop reboot that's coming out. He's got a couple movies in the works, so looking forward to that. He's 62 today. Raquel Welch is 73. And comedian, actor, legend, Bob Newhart, 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We thought that we'd come back for another show tomorrow. I'm not sure what about today's program made us think that it was a good idea to come back and try again tomorrow.
Do you get a sense there's any demand for that at all?
I do not.
Me neither.
We're just filling time. That's all we're doing. We're just giving you something between overnights and Cat Corbett coming in here to play Depeche Mode records. But actually, we're going to try tomorrow because Cousin Sal is going to be on with his first edition of NFL Picks for the weekend. So we're excited about talking to Cousin Sal. The great Paul F. Tompkins joins us on tomorrow's program. Very funny guy.
One of my favorite comedians.
Very funny. And Ralph, how many times have you said to producer Dave, how many times have you yelled at him, hey, could you get Akbar Baja Biamila in on the show, please? I'm dying to talk to that guy.
Can't count how many times I've been through that. Akbar is, one of the best of his kind in what he does in his realm and profession.
He is enormously talented at that thing that he or she
does.
In
his particular sphere, he is in the top echelon, I think, of all the Akbars who do what he does.
I think you'll actually enjoy the interview tomorrow because he is an American contestant, I think American, on American Ninja Warrior.
Well, with a name like that, he's got to be American.
How could he not be? He's on American Ninja Warrior, which is one of the most difficult, challenging game shows in the world. So we can't wait to hear all about that. Oh, I'm being informed he is the co-host of American Ninja Warrior.
Well, we have demanded to speak with him because we want to clear that up, exactly what he's doing over there.
Now I'm being told he's actually the host of the show.
Oh, come on.
American Ninja Warrior. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Plus, it's Friday. That means Ralph has the movie beat. See you tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean.